إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to continue on the theme of at-taqwa as being one of the important foundations in Islam, and more particularly the main objective or the purpose or the goal that for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated the fasting of Ramadan, to achieve at-taqwa. And we began a couple of weeks ago dealing with the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, where He addressed to the believers, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you, has been made obligatory, has been legislated for you, as it was made obligatory on the people before you, that you might achieve a taqwa. And in that session, we talked in detail about some of the meanings of a taqwa. And perhaps somebody can remind us of the definition of taqwa from Talq ibn Habib, in which he explained two sides of a taqwa related to the central theme of Allah's commands and Allah's prohibitions. Does anybody remember the definition of taqwa? No. Tayyib. Anybody want to add to that anything? Tayyib. He said that at-taqwa, this is one of the comprehensive definitions of at-taqwa, which is really brief, but it is comprehensive, that it is acting upon obedience to Allah based on a light from Allah. Acting in accordance with that which is obedience to Allah based upon a light from Allah, based upon guidance from Allah, the Quran and the Sunnah. Hoping for what? The reward of Allah. And the other side of it is avoiding disobedience to Allah. Keeping oneself distance from disobedience to Allah, based upon a light from Allah. What is disobedience? That which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said is disobedience. That which came in the Quran and the Sunnah. Hoping from the punishment of Allah. So in this definition of taqwa, most of the scholars' definition of taqwa centers around this kind of theme. The emphasis is on two matters, that is obedience and disobedience. Acting in accordance with that which is disobedience to Allah, and avoiding that which is disobedience to Allah, and determining what is obedience or disobedience based upon a light from Allah. Based upon the Quran and the Sunnah, and having hope in obedience to Allah, having hope for the reward of Allah, and in avoiding disobedience to Allah, fearing, trying to escape from the punishment of Allah. And this is a very beautiful definition, and it is worthy of memorization, that we memorize it, or at least try to hold on to the essential aspects of this definition, which reminds us of the importance of obedience, and the danger of disobedience, and the reward of obedience, and the punishment for disobedience. And also the importance of whatever we do, or don't do, Yani that it should be based upon the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which He has revealed to us in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And after that, yani, last week we also mentioned another of the very important ayat of Allah addressed to the believers related to at-taqwa, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, at-taqullah, وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Can anybody tell us what is the meaning of this ayah? What is the meaning of this ayah? Now, طالب. Now. Or, you know, the general meaning of it.
Those who believe in Allah, who fear Allah, and look to the what's set for tomorrow.
Naam. Or you believe, fear Allah, and examine, yani look into, check out, be conscious of what you have sent ahead for tomorrow. Naam. And finally, closing with what? Naam. Naam, and know that Allah is aware, Allah is fully aware of all that you do. And in this saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are four principles that we mentioned last week. The first of them, in order, the first of them is what? That He calls the believers by their name, by their title, by their description of Iman. Yani the first principle in this ayat is Al-Iman, Al-Iman. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the people of Iman. Because it is only through Iman that people are able to yani fulfill the commands of Allah and avoid His prohibitions. Through Iman. And the second principle mentioned here, second principle, somebody, anybody else? Second principle. The principle of Naam. The observance of Taqwa. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, taqullah. Yani the principle of Taqwa, which we just got finished talking about. And the third principle, وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. The third principle is the principle of
taking account of oneself.
Taking account of oneself. يعني المحاسبة. محاسبة النفس. Brothers and sisters, it's very important that these principles, that we know them and we understand them and that we strive and try to apply them. المحاسبة. المحاسبة. Take an account. يعني محاسبة النفس. That a person constantly, daily, day and night, ongoing, all the time, take account of yourself. Take account of yourself. Al-Muhasaba. And the last principle that we discussed, last week was Al-Muraqabah. 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 Naam. And that is that a person be conscious of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees them and hears them and knows what they are doing and what they are thinking. Being conscious that you always pay attention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you. He's seeing you and He's hearing you. He knows what you are doing. He knows what you are saying. Naam. That you be conscious of this, that Allah is watching over you. Al-Muraqabah. And this is a very, very, very critical principle in the life of a Muslim. A person wouldn't be successful without these principles, without Iman, without Taqwa, without taking account of oneself and being conscious all the time of the fact that Allah is watching you. We can suffice with this, except that there's one small hadith that should have been easy to memorize. The hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever wants to know what is with Allah, yani what is stored up with Allah for them, yani what will be there for you that's stored up with Allah in the next life, whoever wants to know that, then he merely has to look at what is with him, yani what he has that he has done for the sake of Allah. He merely has to look at what he has done for the sake of Allah. And then you will know, yani clearly, what you can expect to have stored up for you with Allah. Did anybody memorize this hadith in Arabic? Naam? Naam, Abu Bakr?
Man arada
an ya'lam? Ma lahu inda Allah? Naam? Al-yanzur? ما لله عنده يعني من أراد أن يعلم ما له عند الله. من أراد, whoever wants to, يعلم, know, ما له, what will be for him عند الله, يعني stored with Allah on يوم القيامة. فلينظر ما لله عنده, then look at what has been offered for Allah, يعني from himself, what he has done himself. In any case, today inshallah our topic is continuation of the importance of at-taqwa and some of the matters related to at-taqwa and means and ways of achieving at-taqwa and yani some of the commands that follow the command with taqwa. Yani today we're going to talk about al-iman and taqwa, and more importantly observing taqwa of Allah in the way that He deserves, in the way that Allah deserves it, not just any taqwa, but that which Allah has, the taqwa that Allah has a right to, in the way that Allah has a right to it, in the way that is due to Allah, that Allah is worthy of. And that, yani this is the first command in this ayat, to observe taqwa of Allah in the way that Allah is deserving of it, and to not die except in a state of Islam. And to not die except in a state of Islam. Yani a command to observe taqwa of Allah, and a prohibition from dying in a state other than Islam. And after this follows another command and another prohibition and another command, yani according to how much time we have, inshallah we'll try to cover as much of it as possible. We begin with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran, the 102nd ayat, and also 103rd ayat. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O you who believe. Again, and we said the saying of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the people calling them out with this title of Iman, then we should give ear to this, we should pay attention, we should give ourselves over to it, looking, because there's either a command, yani a khair that Allah has commanded us with, or shar, evil that Allah has prohibited us from. So in this ayat, yani we have a khair that Allah has commanded us with, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ, and also a shar that Allah has prohibited us from. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O you who believe, observe taqwa of Allah, حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ, in the way that it is due to Him, that He has a right to. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, and do not die except. وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, yani here, wow, the wow here is wow al-hal, means that, except that your condition is such that you are Muslims, yani in a state of submission upon at-tawheed. Do not die except in a state of submission upon at-tawheed. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And here's the second command. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to hold fast, to adhere to, strictly adhere to, the rope of Allah, حَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا, all together, yani in a state of unity. Yani this adhering to the rope of Allah as a jama'ah, as a group, as a jama'ah, in unity. And a command, وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, the prohibition of being divided, of separating into sects and parties and different groups. And the second ayat, yani, ends with another command, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ, and remember the favor of Allah, the bounty of Allah upon you, إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءَ, when you are enemies, فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ, so Allah joined your hearts together. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا, and then you became, by the ni'mah, by the favor of Allah, you became brothers. And after you were enemies to one another, Allah tied your hearts together, and by the ni'mah of Allah, by the favor of Allah, it is Allah's favor and His bounty upon us that we became brothers in Islam. And Allah ends this ayat by saying, وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ, and indeed you were upon the edge of a ditch of the hellfire. فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا, and then Allah rescued you, He saved you from the hellfire, yani by guiding you to Islam through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ, and in this way Allah makes clear to you, makes crystal clear to you His ayat, that you may be guided upon Hidayah. Yani these two ayats, the 102nd, 103rd ayah of Surah Ali Imran, contain a number of commands and prohibitions, and all of this is yani in light of the fact that the people of Iman are able to comply with Allah's commands, and they are ready to avoid His prohibitions when He makes them known to them. In this ayat, Allah repeats the call to the people by their title of Iman, Ya أيها الذين آمنوا, as He has called the people in the previous ayats before this. And this is reaffirmation of the importance of this description of Iman. And it is also a reminder to the believers that if indeed you are the people from the people of Iman, then it is expected of you to act in a certain way when you hear the command of Allah to comply with it, when you hear His prohibition to avoid it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to exert ourselves in every effort to observe taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is by absolute, complete obedience to Him, by complying with His commands and avoiding His prohibitions. And in this way He has encouraged us to remain firm, to be steadfast, yani by observing taqwa, to remain firm and steadfast upon the deen of Allah all the time, every day, morning, noon and night, in order what? That we may die upon Islam. In order that we may die upon Islam. And in this ayah that Hafiz ibn Kathir mentions a statement that is very, very yani beautiful in his explanation of the meaning of observing taqwa of Allah in the way that Allah is due it, in the way that Allah has a right to it. Perhaps it is very different than from what we understand as observing taqwa of Allah. Perhaps we understand that observing taqwa of Allah means that we say that we are Muslims and we try to perform our prayers every day and we try to do some good deeds and avoiding things like lying and stealing and killing and illegal sexual relations and filthy things like this, and maybe we think that that is sufficient, that we don't really do a lot of bad things and we do most of the things that we are commanded with. We might think that this is taqwa of Allah. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he says, he narrates a report from Ibn Abi Hatim rahimahullah, the great scholar of hadith, with its complete chain of narration going back to Abdullah, and he says that this Abdullah mentioned here is Abdullah. Anybody know which Abdullah this is? You don't know what we're getting ready to say yet, right? Ibn Mas'ud. Yani if you have read the tafsir of this ayat, then you know this is the critical statement that Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir mentions concerning this ayat, the statement from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu concerning the saying of Allah, ittaqullah haqqa tuqati, observe taqwa of Allah in the way that Allah is due, in the way that Allah has a right to it. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said that the meaning of this is an yuta'a fala yu'asa, an yuta'a, that Allah should be obeyed, فَلَا يُعَصَى, and therefore he should not be disobeyed. Yani we should be in obedience to Allah in every situation and circumstance, and be not in disobedience to Allah. وَأَنْ يُذْكَرْ فَلَا يُنْسَى, and that Allah be remembered, that Allah be remembered, and therefore not forgotten. Yani the one who remembers Allah constantly, they will not forget about Allah. Yani how will you avoid forgetting Allah? By remembering Allah all the time. How will you avoid disobedience to Allah? By striving to be in obedience to Allah all of the time. And he said, وَأَنْ يُشْكَرْ فَلَا يُكْفَرْ, وَأَنْ يُشْكَرْ, yani that Allah be thanked, that He be thanked, that He be, yani that we, yani observe gratitude and appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His bounties and favors, فَلَا يُكْفَرْ, so that, yani, we should not observe ingratitude. Yani kufr here being the opposite of shukra. Yani kufr here means ingratitude, the opposite of gratitude. Shukra being thankfulness, appreciation and gratitude, and kufr here mean kufr and ni'mah, yani being ungrateful for the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani this statement has been narrated with various different wordings. Sometimes some of the three matters mentioned here are in different orders. It has also been narrated from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud as a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir and some of the scholars of hadith said that the isnad for this hadith being mawquf as a statement of Abdul ibn Mas'ud is sahih. As far as it being attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this any attribution to the Prophet is not correct. Yani what is more correct, what is more clear, and what is more well known is that this is a statement that is mawquf, yani stopping at Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. The meaning of fearing Allah, observing taqwa of Allah, the way He deserves, and yuta'a fala yu'asa, that He be obeyed and not disobeyed. Wa yudhkar fala yunsa, and that He be remembered and not forgotten. Wa an yushkar fala yukfar, and that He be thanked, and that we don't yani find ourselves in a state of ingratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His favors and bounties. And this particular explanation of Abdul ibn Mas'ud is a great explanation of the taqwa that is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is that He always be remembered and that we always be thankful to Him. When we remember Him, that we be thankful to Him and therefore we obey Him. And this is similar, it's very similar to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he advised some of his companions yani to remember Allah always, to remember Allah and to be thankful to Allah and to worship Allah in the best manner. Naam. Yani in which he said what? Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika. Help me and aid me to be in remembrance of you, that I don't forget you. Wa ala shukrika, that I be thankful and grateful to you and not ungrateful to you. Wa ala husni ibadatika, and that I worship you in the best manner, that I be in obedience to you always, worshipping you in the best manner possible. Al-Imam al-Shawkani in his tafsir of the Quran concerning this ayat, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ, he said that it means, yani the meaning of observing taqwa of Allah in the way that He has a right to it, it means that the abd, the worshipper, does not leave off anything from that which has been made obligatory for him to do. And that he does not do anything from that which it has been made obligatory upon him to abandon, to avoid, of sins. And that he exerts himself, that the abd exerts himself in this, juhdahu, yani yabdhulu fi dhalika juhdahu wa mustata'ahu. That he exert his every effort and his every ability in doing so, in fulfilling the commands of Allah and avoiding His prohibitions. Al-Imam al-Qurtubi said, yani, that when this ayah was revealed, they said, Ya Rasulullah, man yaqwa ala dhalik? Who is able to do this? Yani, who is able to observe this kind of taqwa? This kind of taqwa, that they remember Allah always and never forget Him, and that they are grateful to Allah always and never be ungrateful to Him, and that they are obedient to Allah always and never be disobedient to Him. They said, who is able to do this? Man yaqwa ala dhalik? Who is strong enough to do this? Wa shaqqa alayhim dhalik? And this was difficult for them. Yani, why was it difficult for them? Because they believed that if Allah commanded them with something, they must do it. But they said, how can we do it? Who can do this? Yani, who is able to do this? These are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of humanity after the prophets and messengers of Allah, the best generation and the best followers of any prophet that came to humanity from the beginning of time. And they said, yani, man yaqwa ala dhalik? Who's able to do this? Fashaqqa alayhim. So it was sa'ab, it was difficult upon them. Shaqqa alayhim. Yani, they were concerned, worried. How will we do this? Not like us. If somebody told us, you're not supposed to do something, and we do it, we just say, you know, it's difficult, and we just go on doing it. Somebody tells us, you have to get up in the morning at fajr time and pray and go to the masjid and pray. People say, that's too difficult. They're not even worried about it. But these people were different. They were concerned. When Allah revealed something to them, they were concerned about it. Their heart was touched by it. Shaqqa alayhim. It was sob. It was heavy upon them. How will we do this? This is what Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi says, rahimahullah. That this was sob. It was difficult upon them. Then Allah revealed, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَاسْتَطَاعَتُمْ. Then Allah revealed another ayat. So observe taqwa of Allah according to your ability, to the best of your ability. And so there's a long discussion about this. We don't have the time to discuss it now. Al-Qurtubi, he says, rahimahullah, فَنُسِخَتْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. So the first ayat that we mentioned, يعني اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ, was abrogated and replaced by this ayat, يعني فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَاعَتُمْ. Observe taqwa of Allah to the best of your ability. But there's difference of opinion about this ayat being abrogated, and some of the scholars said, no, it's not abrogated. And some of the scholars said that the difference between them who said it's abrogated and not abrogated is according to how they understood the meaning of the ayat. Yani those who understood it in this absolute sense, that it required absolute obedience to Allah, they said it was abrogated because nobody's able to do that, and that this replaced it. And the others who understood it differently, they said that this ayat is not abrogation, rather it is clarification. It clarifies the meaning of this ayat. Yani the meaning of it is observe taqwa of Allah in the way that is due to him, حَسَبْ إِسْتَطَاعَتُمْ, yani in accordance with your ability, to the best of your ability. Yani, but exert yourself in observing taqwa of Allah in every situation or circumstance. Al-Imam Abdurrahman Al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah, he says concerning this ayat, this is a command from Allah to his believing worshippers that they observe taqwa of him, حَقَّ تَقْوَاهُ, in the way that he is deserving, according to his right. وَأَنْ يَسْتَمِرُّوا عَلَى ذَلِكَ, and that they do this continuously. وَيُثْبِتُوا عَلَيْهِ, and that they be firm upon this. وَيَسْتَقِيمُوا إِلَى الْمَمَاتِ, and that they remain firm upon this until they reach death. Until they reach death. And how do he understand this? Because Allah said, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, and don't die except that you in the state of Islam, of submission, of tawheed, of obedience to Allah, in a state of taqwa. Don't die except in that condition. So how can you do that? And then we come to this point here. Yani, so how can one do that? He said, yani here the Shaykh is alluding to this, that you be continuous in observing taqwa, that you remain firm upon it, and you be yani upright upon a taqwa until you reach death. Alaykum salam. And he says, for whoever lives upon a thing, then they will die upon it. So whoever, when he is in the condition of good health and active and energetic, fadl, and he's able to do things, and he remains constant in the taqwa, in observing taqwa of Allah and obedience to Allah, and turning to Allah constantly, yani whenever he falls short in repentance, then Allah will make him firm at the time of his death, and Allah will grant him this, حُسْنُ الْخَاتِمَةِ, that Allah will grant him a good ending, that he will die in a good condition. If he did what? If he's constant all the time trying to observe taqwa of Allah, trying to be in obedience to Allah, turning back to Allah when he falls short in repentance, asking Allah's forgiveness, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him firm and put him in a position that he will die with a good ending. The Shaykh Abdurrahman Al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah, says, وَهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ بَيَّان لِمَا يَسْتَحَقُّ تَعَالَى مِنَ التَّقْوَى. This ayat is a clarification of what Allah has a right to. بِمَا يَسْتَحَقُّهُ, what Allah has a right to of taqwa. This is Allah's right that you observe taqwa completely for him. وَأَمَّا مَا يَجِبُ عَلَى الْعَبْدِ مِنْهَا, but as for what is obligatory and what is expected of the person, yani this is Allah's right that you observe taqwa yani completely, to be complete obedience to him. But as for what is obligatory upon the worshipper, فَكَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى, it is as in the second ayat as revealed, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَاعَتُمْ. Yani what is obligatory upon you is to observe taqwa of Allah as best as you can, as much as you can. Allah has a right to more than that. But what is obligatory upon us is according to your ability, to observe taqwa of Allah to the best of your ability. So the details of at-taqwa as it relates to the heart and to the limbs of the body are many, Shaykh Abdurrahman Al-Sa'adi said. Yani the details of this taqwa as it relates to the conditions of the heart and the actions of the limbs of the body are many. But they are gathered together in the saying that a person does what Allah has commanded him with and that he leaves what Allah has prohibited him from. Yani this is the summary of it. But as far as the details, there are many. There are many. Yani the tongue, the eyes, the feet, the hands, everything that the limbs of the body engage in, our thoughts, in our mind, in our inner self, in our soul, in our heart, all of this, yani our speech, everything that we say, all of it is, yani comes under this ruling of observing taqwa of Allah haqqa tuqati in the way that he has a right to, in the way that is justly due to him. After this, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, and do not die except in a state of Islam, in submission to Allah. Yani that you shouldn't be in any condition except the condition of Islam. You should never find yourself in a position where you are out of submission to Allah. Yani you have gone out of the realm of obedience to Allah. You should never find yourself in this position. Whoever finds himself in this position must repent to Allah quickly. Yani must feel yani the danger of our condition and must stop what we are doing and must feel remorse for what we are doing and must return to Allah in repentance quickly. And this is why the Shaykh, he said, what? That a person should be in constant obedience to Allah and likewise must be in constant and turning constantly to Allah in repentance. And Abdul ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, he said that in one sitting, in one majlis with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we counted him saying, Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh 100 times. In one sitting. Not in one day, in one sitting. Oh Allah, I seek your forgiveness, and oh Allah, I turn to you in repentance. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says concerning this ayah, وَلَا تُمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, and this is also a very, very important saying worthy of memorization. Now, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, he tells us here, how is it that a person can put themselves in a position so that they will be able to observe yani what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has required of us here. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, and do not die except in a state of Islam. How can anybody yani fulfill this instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And do not die except in a state of Islam. Nobody knows when or where or how they will die. So how can a person guarantee that they will only yani die in a state of Islam? Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says, A, the meaning of this, Allah is telling us, حَافِظُوا عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ, حَافِظُوا عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ, protect and preserve the Islam, protect and guard your Islam, don't take it lightly. فِي حَالِ صِحَتِكُمْ وَسَلَامَتِكُمْ, yani when you are in a condition of good health and you are in safety and security. فِي حَالِ صِحَتِكُمْ وَسَلَامَتِكُمْ, yani when you are in good health, preserve your Islam, don't wait until you get sick. Now I'm maybe at the point of death, let me get it together. No, when you're in good health. وَسَلَامَتِكُمْ, not when you're in danger. When your safety is yani in danger. Rather, when you are safe and secure and everything is good, preserve your Islam. Because the time may come when it may become difficult. But now you're able to do so. So Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says what? حَافِظُوا عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ, protect and preserve your Islam. فِي حَالِ صِحَتِكُمْ وَسَلَامَتِكُمْ, in your condition of good health and safety and security, لِتَمُوتُ عَلَيْهِ, so that you will die upon it. Upon what? Upon the Islam that you are guarding, that you are protecting, that you are preserving. And if you guard and protect yourself when you're in a position to do so, then in this way, inshallah, لِتَمُوتُ عَلَيْهِ, so that you will die upon Islam. فَإِنَّ الْكَرِيمُ قَدْ أَجْرَ عَادَتَهُ بِقَرَمِهِ, فَإِنَّ الْكَرِيمُ, for verily the one who is generous, Al-Kareem, Allah is generous, who is bountiful, قَدْ أَجْرَ عَادَتَهُ, he has made it that his ada, his custom, his habit, his way, he has made it to be what? أَنَّهُ مَنْ عَاشَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ وَمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ بُعِثَ عَلَيْهِ. Yani Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says what? That Allah who is generous, he has made it like this. This is his ada, this is his way, this is his habit. That man aasha ala shayin mata alayh. Whoever lives upon something, Allah has made it out of his generosity. Bi qaramihi. This is from his generosity. He has made it such that if you live upon something, you will die upon that. That's his generosity. You don't know what condition you're going to die in, what situation it's going to be. But Allah has made it that if you live upon something, then you will die upon that. So if you live upon Islam, then Allah said, I will give you that. You will die upon Islam. وَمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ بُعِثَ عَلَيْهِ, so whoever dies upon something, Allah has also given it to you what? That you will be raised upon it, upon that. فَحَافِظُوا عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ فِي حَالِ صِحَتِكُمْ وَسَلَامَتِكُمْ لِتَمُوتُوا alayhi, guard and protect and preserve your Islam when you're in a good condition of good health and safety and security, so that you may die upon it. Because Allah in His generosity, He is Al-Kareem. Wa bikaramihi, due to His generosity, He has made it His habit that whoever lives upon something, He gave them that, they will die upon it. And whoever dies upon something, they will be resurrected upon it. And Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says, Wa iyadhu billah min khilafi dhalik. And we seek refuge in Allah from other than that. That we die in any other condition. That we die in any other condition than upon Islam. وهكذا ابن كثير says, هكذا رواه الترمذي والنسائي وابن ماجه وابن حبان في صحيح والحاكم في مستدركه. يعني this is how it has been narrated by الترمذي and النسائي and ابن ماجه and ابن حبان in his صحيح and حاكم in his مستدرك رحمهم الله رحمة واسعة. May Allah have mercy upon all of them. And then here الحافظ ابن كثير, he mentions a number of narrations from the Prophet ﷺ related to death. And there are a lot of narrations, and there's no doubt that we can't mention them all, but we'll mention some of them. And what the point here is what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to observe taqwa of Him in the way that is due to Him, and that we die not except in a state of Islam. What about this death? Yani, what about the matter of death? The Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith reported by Imam Ahmed, and he mentions, and Ibn Kathir mentions the complete isnad of the hadith to when he said that it's from Abdullah ibn Amr, yani Ibn al-As radiyallahu anhumah, may Allah be pleased with both of them, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أحب أن يزحزح عن النار ويدخل الجنة فليدركه منيته وهو يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر. That whoever would love to be distanced from the hellfire and admitted into the paradise, then he should make it such that when death reaches him, his condition is what? وَهُوَ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. That he is in a condition of believing in Allah in the last day. And whoever wants to be distanced from the hellfire and admitted into the paradise, then he should put himself in a position such that when death reaches him, it will reach him while he's in a state of believing in Allah in the last day. وَيَأْتِي إِلَى النَّاسِ, in the second part of this hadith, وَيَأْتِي إِلَى النَّاسِ مَا يُحِبُّ أَنْ يُؤْتَى إِلَيْهِ. And he should come to the people with that which he loves that they come to him with. Meaning that he should treat people in the way that he wants to be treated. Yani the first part of this what is in reference to Allah, believing in Allah in the last day. And the second part of it is in dealing with the people. It's not enough, brothers and sisters, it's not enough that we say we believe in Allah in the last day. And maybe we really do believe in Allah in the last day. But that's not sufficient with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But rather, al-ihsan in Islam is not just to worship Allah in the way that He deserves worship. Yani worship Allah as though you're seeing, if you don't see Him, know that He sees you. It's more than that. It also means in your relations with the creatures, the servants of Allah, that you treat them well also. Al-ihsan is also treating the people well, being kind to the people, being good to the people, being just, being fair. Yani, not oppressing people, not transgressing against people, not taking anything from the rights of people. This is also a very, very important part of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani we worship Him in reference to His rights that are due to Him, and also in reference to the rights that He has given to the people over us. Naam. And in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in reference to yani another hadith related to a taqwa, he said, وَخَالَكَ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ وَخَالَكَ النَّاسِ. And after he mentioned the right of Allah, observing taqwa of Allah, he said, وَخَالَكَ النَّاسِ. Not just the rights of Allah that's due to him of worship, but also, خَالَكَ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. And treat the people with good character, with good manners, and you're dealing with the people. Allah has required this of us. And it's not sufficient that you just worship Allah well and do acts of worship, but in your character, in your manners, in your dealing with other people, in your interaction with your family, in your business, with the people that you come in contact in the street, Muslims and kafirs. The Muslim is a Muslim in every situation or circumstance. And we're not just a Muslim with the Muslims. We are Muslim all the time. With everybody. We observe the laws of Allah. We're in submission to Allah totally, all the time, as best we can. And we are turning to Allah in repentance constantly for our shortcomings. And the second narration that he mentions from Al-Imam Ahmed from his Musnad, also with the chain of narration from Jabir radiallahu anhu, he said that I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, 3 days before his death, 3 days before his death, Jabir said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, لا يموتن أحدكم إلا وهو يحسن الظن بالله عز وجل. This hadith is also reported to another chain by Imam Muslim, that no one of you should die except that he has husnul dhan billahi azza wa jalla. No one should die except that he thinks good of Allah. As in another narration he came, makes clear what it means, that you know that Allah is generous, that Allah is kind, that Allah is merciful. So you expect that from him. Don't expect from Allah what people expect from you. And if people look at you, they expect the worst from you. Don't look at Allah like that. You might expect that from the people, but not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We only expect good from Allah. Husn al-dhan. We only think good about Allah. We only expect good from Allah. And it's also reported by Imam Ahmed, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir mentions with the chain of narration from Abu Hurairah, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَ قَالْ أَنَا عِنْدَ ذَنِّي عَبْدِي بِي. Yani, I will be as my servant thinks of me. However you see Allah, he's going to be like that. That's the way he's going to be for you. فَإِنْ ذَنَّ بِي خَيْرًا فَلَهُ. If he thinks good of me, then he will have that good. وَإِنْ ذَنَّ شَرًّا فَلَهُ. If he thinks evil, then he will have that. And Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir says, this hadith, yani it's reported by Imam Ahmed, but the origin, the core of it, of the hadith, is also confirmed in As-Sahihain, in Bukhari and Muslim, with a different chain of narration from Abu Hurairah, that the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jalla said, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِ بِي. Yani that I am as my abd thinks of me. In the previous narration, in the Musnad, it says, if he thinks good of me, then that's what he will have, and if he thinks evil of me, then that's what he will have. وَلَا تَمُوتَنَّ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And don't die except as Muslims, except in a state or condition of Islam, of submission upon at-tawheed. Yani observe, guard, and protect your Islam in every situation or circumstance, and only in this way can you guarantee that you will die upon Islam. And if you die upon Islam, then yani if you lived upon Islam, Allah will make it so that you will die upon Islam. If you die upon Islam, Allah will raise you up upon Islam. And after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And here's the second command and the second prohibition that came after this general call to the people of Iman. يعني وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And hold tight to the rope of Allah, all together, جَمِيعًا, all together. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And do not separate, do not divide yourselves up. Don't separate from one another. And there's a lot of interpretations of the meaning of حَبْلِلَّهِ. And perhaps all of them have some legitimacy. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir discusses it in great length. We will suffice to say, Al-Imam ibn Qayyim says in his tafsir of the Qur'an, that the meaning of yani hold fast to the rope of Allah altogether, it means adhere to, stick to the rope of Allah. And there are six, yani Ibn Qayyim says there are six sayings related to the meaning of Hablillah. The first of them is Kitabullah, Al-Quran. Yani hold fast to the Habl of Allah means hold fast to the book of Allah, Al-Quran. Now keep in mind that yani some of the scholars said, yani Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di says that yani in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us with that which, yani amrahum ta'ala bima yu'inuhum ala taqwa. Yani after he ordered us to observe taqwa of him in the way that is due to Allah, and to not die except in the state of Islam, then here Allah follows that with another command, and this command is that which will help and assist and enable the person to observe this taqwa. Yani, so what follows here, Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di rahimahullah says, is that which Allah commands us with something that will help us to observe this taqwa. Yani Allah has commanded us that, with that which will help us to observe a taqwa, and that is al-ijtima' wal-i'tisam bi-deenillah. Al-ijtima' that we be united. Wal-i'tisam bi-deenillah, and that we hold fast to the deen of Allah. That the da'wah of the Muslims, yani be a united da'wah, and that the people join themselves together and not be separated. For indeed, in coming together, in the Muslims coming together and being united upon their deen and their hearts being tied to one another, there is a benefit for them in their deen and in their dunya. Because indeed, بِالْإِجْتِمَاعِ يَتَمَكَّنُونَ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ. By coming together, by the Muslims coming together, instead of being separate and divided and arguing, disputing everyone with the next one, by coming together, the Muslims become enabled to do every affair. They will be capable of yani achieving it, and they will achieve everything that is of benefit that is dependent upon them being together, and that is not possible without them coming together and cooperating with one another in birr and taqwa. Indeed, the separation and enmity and hatred destroys the system, the nizam, that brings the people together and cuts the ropes, the ties that bind us together, such that if we find that everyone, yani when we are separated and divided, we will find that everyone will be striving to achieve the desires of his own self, even if it causes harm to all the rest of the people. This is what we find in the society of people who are individualists. Everybody, just look out for yourself. The hell with the rest of the world and everybody else. Your neighbor and even your family. Just me. It's just me. Some people don't care about anybody but themselves. But in Islam, Allah has commanded us to join together, to unite our hearts together, so that we will cooperate with one another in piety and in righteousness, and this will benefit us in our deen and in our dunya. Don't just think about ourselves, our individual self, but think about the benefit of the whole, of the whole. This is what Shaykh Abdul Rahman As-Sa'di said. Going back to the saying of Ibn al-Qayyim, he said that the meaning of here, of yani hablillah, he said there are six meanings. The first of them is kitabullah. Yani hold fast to the book of Allah. وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. All together, hold together, united, joined together, all of you hold together to the book of Allah. Don't just say, yani our little sect, our little jama'ah, our little group, our little masjid, mashallah, we're upon the book and the sunnah, and we don't care about the rest of the people. Rather, let's unite with the people upon the haqq. Those people are also holding to the Quran and sunnah. Why are we separated from them? When we have anything, any program, any need, we want everybody to come and help us. But when they call for help, we don't care about them. But rather, the people have to be able to unite upon the haqq, upon the Quran and sunnah. Naam. Those people upon Quran and sunnah, these people upon Quran and sunnah, these people upon Quran and sunnah. Naam, we have some personality differences. We have some small issues that we might yani have a different view of fiqh. Sometimes we have, some person has more knowledge than the other one. Okay, it's alright. But these people upon Quran and sunnah, these people upon Quran and sunnah, why are we divided? وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. Hold fast to the book of Allah, the rope of Allah. Here he said the first meaning of is Kitab Allah, the Quran. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And don't divide and separate yourselves. Don't be divided amongst yourselves. This is not productive. The Dawah Salafiyah in this country some years ago was very strong when the people were united. And then when the people became divided, the Dawah became weak. Allah, some of the scholars said the Dawah became weak, not just in America, but in the world, because of the people dividing up amongst themselves. So, that's the first saying. The second saying, he said, and he mentions, yani, the people who, which people from amongst Sahaba or Tabi'een, or from amongst the scholars held this opinion and the other one, but for the sake of time. The second opinion, أَنَّهُ al-jama'a, yani, حَبْلِلَّهِ means al-jama'a, yani, the group, that the people hold together upon the jama'ah, stick together as a group. And this is made clear by what follows it. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And don't be divided. And the third saying, أنه دين الله. دين الله, the whole of the deen of Allah. The meaning of hablullah means hold fast to the whole deen of Allah. Naam. And the fourth saying, he said, ahdullah, the covenant of Allah. And the greatest covenant that we have made with Allah is what? Upon a tawheed, that la ilaha illallah, that we don't worship anything except Allah. La ilaha illallah, the ahd of Allah. And the fifth saying, annahu al-ikhlas, al-ikhlas, yani sincerity for the sake of Allah, that we make our deen totally for Allah alone, that every act of worship, every action and every speech and our thoughts and our the conditions of our heart, that it be upon a tawheed, yani stick to the tawheed, because whoever yani separates from the tawheed falls into shirk. And the sixth saying, he said, amrullah wa ta'atuhu, yani the command of Allah and obedience to him, yani hold fast, wa'tasimu bihablillah, yani hold fast to the book of Allah, to the jama'ah, to the whole of the deen of Allah, to the covenant of Allah, to ikhlas, to the command of Allah and obedience. And here Ibn al-Qayyim says, jami'an, the saying, ittasimu bihablillahi jami'an, jami'an, he said, it is mansub ala hal. Jami'an means that the reason why it is, yani its case is mansub, right, is because it is hal, yani it's showing the condition, holding fast to the habl of Allah in the condition of what? Of being united together. Yani, kunu mujtami'ina ala al-i'tisam bihi. Yani, be united together upon this sticking to the habl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. And there are some more sayings too, but for the sake of time. After this, وَاتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا. يعني, and remember the favor of Allah upon you, the ni'mah of Allah upon you. يعني Allah is telling us here, after He commanded us with what? To hold fast to the rope of Allah and be not divided. He said, and remember the favor of Allah. Which favor of Allah? There are many favors of Allah, but here Allah mentions one of them. And there are others that are equally important, if not more important. But this is in line with the siyaq, yani the flow of what is being discussed here. Yani, hold fast to the habl of Allah altogether, and be not divided. And remember the ni'mah of Allah upon you. إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Remember when you were enemies of one another. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Then Allah tied your hearts together upon the brotherhood of Iman. And He united us after we were divided and separated upon the brotherhood of Iman. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. He tied your hearts together. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. So then you became, as a result of Him tying the hearts together, became بِنِعْمَتِهِ, by His favor and His bounty, brothers. You became brothers. Yani, brothers and sisters in Islam. And this is important for us to keep in mind, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He didn't say here, فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ إِخْوَانًا. So Allah tied between your hearts and you became brothers. But He said, فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. And this word right here, بِنِعْمَتِهِ, is very important, because Allah is telling us clearly that you being brothers is from the ni'mah of Allah. You weren't able to do this yourselves, but by Allah's ni'mah, this is a favor and a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you became brothers. He tied your hearts together, and then by His favor and His bounty upon you, you became brothers. And this is after you were on the edge of the pit of fire, and He saved you from it. Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, says concerning these words, and he says to the end of the ayat, that this line of speech is in reference to, yani it was revealed, the Sabab and Nuzul was in reference to the Aus and the Khazraj. Yani they were two tribes from amongst the Arabs of Medina, right? The Aus and Khazraj. They were two tribes. There was between them wars, many wars in Jahiliyyah. In fact, Al-Imam al-Shawkani mentions concerning these wars that they were warring for 120 years. كانت الحرب بين الأوس والخزرج 20 و100 سنة حتى قام الإسلام فأطفى الله بذلك ذلك وألف بينهم. يعني until Islam was established, and then Allah put this war, He put the fire of the war out, and He tied their hearts together. 120 years they were at war. يعني Hafiz Ibn Kathir says that these ayats were revealed in reference to the Aus and Khazraj. They were two tribes, Arab tribes. They were both Arabs, and they were living in the same place, and they were at war with each other in Jahiliyyah. They had a tremendous enmity and hatred between them, long standing. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought Islam to them, and they and some of them entered into it, those who entered into Islam became brothers to one another. They became in love with one another. And they were joined to one another due to their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cooperating with one another in piety and righteousness. And in another place Allah says in the Quran, هُوَ الَّذِي أَيَّدَكَ بِنَصْرِهِ وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that He, Allah, is the one who has supported you, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with His support and help, and through the believers. And through the believers. بِنَصْرِهِ وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. And Allah is the one who tied their hearts together. لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ إِنَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. That if you had spent all that is in the earth, all of it together, you would not have been able to join their hearts together, but Allah joined their hearts together. Indeed, He is mighty and wise. This is in Surah Al-Anfal, 62nd ayat. Surah Al-Anfal, 62nd ayat. Now, so here Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir, he is making us to understand something of the background of this ayat, what it was revealed in reference to, and we can also, yani, put it in a contemporary light. Yani it was revealed in reference to Aus and Khazraj, but also we can look at ourselves in whatever country that we came from, whether we're from America, from Europe, from Africa, Asia, wherever. We know that in every place there are people who are warring. Nations that are warring, tribes that are warring. Yani locally we have gangs that are warring, right? The Bloods and the Crips and the Latin Kings and I don't know who are, whatever gangs the other ones are. Right? And even if it's not gangs, yani it's people from a certain locality or a certain neighborhood or a certain city. And worse than that, yani after we came into Islam, we still had enmity and hatred amongst ourselves. When Allah gave us Islam as a ni'mah to make us brothers and to tie our hearts together, we have allowed shaitan and the evil, corrupt criminals who came amongst us, wolves in sheep's clothing, that's putting it mildly, criminals in the clothing, in the dressing of Islam, calling themselves the people of Sunnah, maybe even saying Salafiyah. Wallahi, these people, as Sheikh Saleh Suhaimi said, they are criminals. They are not ignorant, they know what they're doing, that's their intent, to destroy the Dawah Salafiyah and to destroy the Islam. Wallahi, they have divided us amongst ourselves. When before we were united, now we are all divided. And no one can trust anyone. That is the kind of enmity and hatred and separation and division that is between us. If you go to any place and they don't know you, they ask you, who are you? Where are you from? What masjid do you go to? A brother asked us the other day, he walked up to us, right? We don't know him anyway, we never seen him, he never saw us. And I offered him a book and he said to us, are you familiar with Dawah Salafiyah? Is it true? Just like that. we just humbly said, yeah, we're familiar with Dawah Salafi. He said, okay, because I don't take anything from anyone except the Dawah Salafiyya. I mean, subhanAllah, this is good, really, you know, that you only want the haq. But subhanAllah, akhi, some of us, we just like, this is craziness, akhi. Be easy, take it easy. And other people are also Muslims, even if they have some misunderstanding, some misguidance, they might be off the path. But, honey, if they're not really just mushriks, outright mushriks, talk to people with kindness, with the character of the Prophet ﷺ, and invite people to something, not run people away. Okay, the enmity and hatred has spread amongst us to the extent that we are like Aus and Khazraj, some of us, in Islam. That was in Jahiliyyah. But in Islam, some of us are like this. Ongoing wars. And even if there was a difference between us and a person made a mistake, maybe they corrected it. But it never could go to rest. Khalas, they're done. Throw them under the bus, throw them off the building, whatever, I don't know, huh?
Janazah.
They don't give them janazah. They're not going to attend the janazah. They're not going to attend janazah. You don't get any janazah. Allahu musta'an. May Allah help us. May Allah open our hearts. Yani, may Allah tie our hearts together. May we accept this Islam, yani, the proper understanding of Islam from the Quran and the Sunnah as it is explained by the legitimate scholars of Islam, by the scholars of Sunnah, of the past and of the present, of this era and the previous generations. And we have many great scholars today. Not the least of them is Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan. Is that right? And even if he was to say this, some people, they don't want to hear it. If the scholars who passed away, if Sheikh Ibn Baz said it, and he said it, they don't want to hear it. If Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, said it, they don't want to hear it. If Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, said it, they don't want to hear it. They only want to hear what is in line with their thinking. May Allah save us from this. Wallahi, brothers, this is dangerous. I'm not saying this to make mockery of anybody. I'm saying this because we fear that we could fall into this also. We are not exempt. We don't have any asma, that we are protected, that we can't go astray. Because we are also, yani, human beings who make errors and mistakes. But when we make mistakes, we hope that we will be humble enough to accept the correction and correct ourselves. And that we will not, yani, be so lost and occupied with the mistakes of our brother that we forget to look at our own selves. As the Prophet ﷺ said, that some of us, we see a speck in the eye of our brother, but we don't see the tree trunk in our own eye. We are inspectors on the other people, but we don't look at ourselves. And I'm saying that sincerely, really, seriously. We have to look at ourselves. Wallahi, brothers, don't be occupied with the other people. You don't have time for that. You need to look at yourself. Every one of us need to look at ourselves and correct our own selves. Don't be so worried about the mistake of the other person. Tell him, inform him, remind him, naam. But don't get occupied with that, stuck on that. And then you forgot about your own self. You so occupied with somebody else, you forgot about yourself. Allahu musta'an. So, yani, the Shaykh, he says here, Al-Imam Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he says, and remember the favors of Allah upon you when you were enemies, and Allah tied your hearts together so that you became, by the ni'mah of Allah, brothers. He said this was revealed in reference to the Aus and Khazraj, who were at war. They had many wars during the time of Jahiliyyah. And then Islam came, and Allah tied their hearts together. And they were on the edge of a ditch of fire. بِسَبَبِ كُفْرِهِمْ. Why were they on the edge of the fire? Due to their disbelief. فَأَبَعَدَهُمْ أَوْ أَنْقَذَهُمْ. Then Allah distanced them from the fire or saved them from the fire, in that He guided them. يعني هَدَاهُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ. And then Allah favored them through His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded them of the favor of Allah upon them on the day of the division of the spoils in the Battle of Hunain. And some of them, Yeah, he had something to say about the division of the spoils. They were not pleased with the way the Prophet ﷺ was dividing it, even though he was dividing it the way Allah intended it to be divided. And he said to them, Ya ma'ashar al-ansar, O assembly of Ansar, did I not find you dullalan, astray, fahadakum Allah bi, and then Allah guided you through me, wa kuntum mutafarriqina, فَأَلَّفَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِي, and you were divided up amongst yourselves, then Allah brought you together through me. وَعَالَةً فَأَغْنَاكُمُ اللَّهُ بِي, and you were in poverty, and Allah enriched you through me. And everything that the Prophet ﷺ said to them concerning these matters, يعني, they said, Ameen, it is so. Naam. Naam. And from amongst those things he said, what? You were divided up, and Allah brought you together through me. Allah brought you together through me. So the Prophet ﷺ reminded them of this great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah brought them together after they were divided. And we should also be reminded that we were divided, yani as kuffar, as mushrikeen, before Islam, and then Allah brought us together and made us brothers to one another and sisters to one another. And Ibn Kathir then here mentions the long narrations concerning the wars between Aus and Khazraj. And it's lengthy. Al-Imam al-Shawkani says concerning this ayat that Allah has commanded them to remember His favor upon them. And He made clear to them this ni'mah, يعني من هذه ni'mah ما يناسب المقام. And from amongst the favors of Allah, that which is in line with this, يعني discussion, يعني with what Allah is saying in these ayats, it is that they were enemies of one another, and they were divided amongst themselves, and some of them were killing one another and taking one another's property, and then due to the ni'mah of Allah, they became brothers, and they were on the edge of the fire due to the kufr that they were upon, and Allah saved them from this fire by Islam. And Allah saved them by Islam. And in the end of the ayat, He says the saying of Allah, وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَحْتَدُونَ, yani that, so that you will be guided, yani remember the favor of Allah to the end of the ayah so that you will be guided. He said that this is, yani it is, Allah is instructing us to remain firm upon this guidance, and that perhaps we will also be increased in guidance. That will be increased in guidance, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And I'll close with the statement of Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di concerning this ayah, or the end of this ayah. Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, says here, Allah reminded them of His favor, and He commanded them, the believers, to remember this favor. He reminded them of His favor and commanded us to remember it. Don't forget this favor of Allah. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ عَدَاءً. Remember the favor of Allah when you were enemies, killing one another, taking from one another's wealth. To the extent that one tribe was at enmity with another tribe, and the people of one land, yani in the same place, they were also having enmity for one another, even though they were from the same city or the same yani area, and they were fighting one another. And this was a great, terrible evil. This was the condition of the Arabs before the missioning of the Prophet ﷺ. So when Allah missioned him, and they believed in him, and they were united, they came together upon Islam, and their hearts were tied together by Iman, it was as though, yani, كانوا كشخص واحد. They became like one person due to their hearts being tied together and the allegiance that they had one to another. And for this reason, Allah says, فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. So Allah tied your hearts together, and you became, by the ni'mah of Allah, brothers, and you were on the edge of the fire. That is, قَدْ استحقتم, يعني استحقيتم, يعني you were يستحق, you were entitled to, you were due, you were deserving of the hellfire, and there was nothing between you and falling into that hellfire except that you needed just to die and you would have entered it. Yani you were in condition that you deserved to be punished in the hellfire. And there was nothing left. There was no distance between you and the hellfire except that if you died, you would have entered the hellfire. At this point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this condition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved you from this. Due to what the favor that He has given you of Iman, believing in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah made clear to you through His ayat, the haqq and the batil, the truth and falsehood, and the huda and the dalal, the guidance and the misguidance. بَيَّنَ كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ. Just like this, Allah makes crystal clear to you His signs. The signs that you يُوَضِّح, make clear, وَيُفَصِّر, and explain, وَيُبَيِّن, يعني elucidate, the truth from falsehood and guidance from misguidance, so that perhaps you will be guided بِمَعْرِفَةِ الْحَقِّ وَالْعَمَلْ بِهِ. So that perhaps you will be guided بِمَعْرِفَةِ الْحَقِّ وَالْعَمَلْ بِهِ. How will you be guided? By knowing the truth, not enough. And الْعَمَلْ بِهِ. Yani some of us, we are content to know the truth. We are upon the haqq, the straight path, huh? Naam, and acting upon it. Some of us are content just to know the truth. It's not enough to know the truth without acting upon it. And you have to know the truth in order to act. That's correct. But after you know the truth, then you must also act. And if people don't know the truth, they can't act right. That's true. But simply knowing the truth is not sufficient. You must then also act upon it. Didn't the Prophet ﷺ say in a hadith that the son of Adam, every human being will stand before Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and they would not go forward until they are questioned about four things. And in some of the narrations, it said five things. About their life, how did they use it, and their youth, how did they spend it? And about their wealth, how did they get it? And how did they spend it? And finally, وَمَاذَا عَمِلَ بِمَا عَلِمَ. What did you do with that which you knew? Allah is not just going to ask you how much knowledge did you have, but what did you do with it? Yani people will be guided, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says, so that you'll be guided to the truth, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَحْتَدُونَ. You'll be guided to the truth, بِمَعْرِفَةِ الْحَقِّ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ. These two things must go together, knowing the truth and acting upon it. Knowledge and action. Knowledge and action. This is critical. These are from the principles of real tarbiyah. Any real yani education and cultivation comes from the person understanding certain principles. Some of us, we have just been content with collecting knowledge. So we accumulate a lot of information. But without acting upon it, in accordance with the sunnah, with sincerity, ikhlas for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then really we are not going anywhere. And the Shaykh, he closes by saying, وَفِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ مَا يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ أَنْ يَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتَهُ بِقُلُوبِهِمْ وَأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا شُكْرًا لَهُ وَمَحَبَّةً وَلِيَزِيدُهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَإِحْسَانِهِ. Yani Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says, in this ayat, we find that which point to or indicate the fact that Allah loves for His ibad to mention and to remember His favor, بِكُلُوبِهِمْ وَأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ, in their hearts and on their tongue. Some of us don't remember the favor of Allah, not in the heart nor in the tongue. Some people, they say Alhamdulillah, 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 but it's just on the tongue. And probably the munafiq also is saying Alhamdulillah and amantu billah and things like this, but it's just on the tongue. But he said Allah loves that His ibad, that they remember, that they mention His favor upon them, not just on the tongue, but in the heart and on the tongue. Yani that our heart, that we focus and remember in our heart, not just by words that we say in front of the people, but in our heart we remember the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever remembers the favors of Allah upon them, and there are many, whoever remembers them in their heart, sincerely, it will affect change in the human being. And this is part of what Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said in the beginning when we started, right? He said what? That you remember Allah and don't forget Him, and that you be thankful to Allah and don't be ungrateful. Don't be ungrateful. And that you'll be obedient to Allah and not disobedient to Him. But this is very important. The Prophet ﷺ said, O Allah, help me to remember You and to be thankful to You and to worship You in the best manner. So we have to remember Allah and remember His favors, and then we have to make sure that we have gratitude in our hearts for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this gratitude is a great motivation that moves the person who has iman, if you are really grateful, to be obedient to Allah. Naam, isn't it true that you say to your children, if you have children, that all I have done for you, huh? You remind them of all the favors you gave them. Why are you disobedient to me? The person who is really grateful, they will be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same way that your children, if they are really grateful for all you have done for them, they will be obedient to you. But if they are not obedient, they are not grateful. They don't appreciate what you have done for them. Wallahi, they don't appreciate it. That's why they are disobedient, because they are ungrateful. And this ingratitude is a form of kufr. Yani, the minor kufr, kufr al-ni'mah, but it might lead to real kufr. Some of them, due to their ingratitude, they become disobedient, which leads to them what? Abandoning Islam. Due to ingratitude. So the Shaykh, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat, we find that which indicates that Allah loves his worshippers, His ibad, to remember His favors in their hearts and on their tongue, so that they may be increased in gratitude and in love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By remembering Allah's favors, it will increase you in gratitude and appreciation and thankfulness and in love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase the believers who remember His favors upon them and who are grateful for His favors to them. Then Allah will increase them in His fadl and His ihsan, in more bounties and favors and kindness and generosity from Him to them. فَإِنَّ مِنْ أَعْظَمْ مَا يَذْكُرْ مِنْ نِعْمِهِ نِعْمَةَ الْهِدَايَةِ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ وَالْإِتِّبَاعِ الرَّسُولِ صلى الله عليه وسلم والاجتماع كلمة المسلمين وعدم تفرقهم. And I close with this statement from Al-Imam Abd al-Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah rahmatan wasiyan, that from amongst the greatest things from the favors of Allah that we should remember is the ni'mah of al-hidayah ila al-Islam. Naam, from the greatest of favors of Allah is that He has guided us to Islam. And the following of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we are upon the Sunnah. And also, he said the third thing, wal ijtima'. Ijtima' kalimat al muslimin wa adam tafarruqihim. The unity of the Muslims and the absence of division and separation amongst them. From the greatest of the favors of Allah is the ni'mah of guiding us to Islam and the following of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the unity of the Muslims. Yani, whatever this means to you. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَى فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَاتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. Yani, if you can reflect on this ayat, remember the favors of Allah upon you when you were enemies and Allah joined your hearts together. So you became, by the favor of Allah, brothers to one another. اعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا. Hold fast to the habl of Allah, the deen of Allah, the Quran, the Sunnah, the Jama'ah, and don't be divided. From amongst the greatest favors of Allah is that we be united upon the haqq, upon the Quran and the Sunnah, as it was understood by the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as it was understood by the Salaf of this Ummah. Naam. Being united upon the Haqq. We are not saying unite with everybody just for the sake of unity. Okay, we are saying unite upon the Haqq. If people are striving to establish the Quran and Sunnah in their lives and following the way of the Prophet ﷺ and following the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajmain and the way of the Salaf as-Salih and listening to and accepting the advice and guidance and instruction of the ulama of Ahl as-Sunnah, then these people, even if we have differences with them, even if that person, I don't really like that brother so much, maybe he said something to me one time, I didn't get over it yet. Be above that. Grow up. Let's be adults. Let's stop being children. Naam, we have differences. We don't agree on every point with that brother or this brother. But if these people are really openly calling to the Sunnah, and they are acknowledging the scholars, so, okay, no problem. Your Shaykh is Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad. Hafidhu Allah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And your Shaykh is Shaykh Salih Suhaimi. And your Shaykh is Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan. Hafidhum Allah. It's okay. I'm not mad with you because you don't listen to Shaykh Al-Abad. Don't get mad with me if I don't listen to Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan. It's not that I don't care about what he's saying. I'm occupied with this Shaykh. And guess what? Some of our scholars have clearly stated, Shaykh Rabi' al-Madkhali, Hafidhu Allah, he said, it is not from the Sunnah to follow one scholar alone to the exclusion of the rest of them. This is not from the way of the Salaf. This is not from the way of the Salaf. Okay? I'm saying, Naam, I love this Shaykh more than the others, but I'm not stuck on him and I'm not going to listen to nobody but him. And I'm going to limit myself to him because Naam, he's an alim, Naam, but he's a human being. And there are other scholars who have something he don't have. He has something they don't have and they have something he don't have. And he said that all together, the ulama of Ahl Sunnah, together is the real benefit for the people of Sunnah. That we benefit from all of them. Because some of them, Naam, that's a fact, is a little mutasahil, kind of lenient. And some of them is a little mutashaddid, a little bit severe. And some of them are mu'tadil, in between, balance. Right? So we take from all of them. All of them, there's benefit in them. The people of Sunnah I'm talking about. We're not talking about deviant people, of corruption and Sufi and Ikhwan and Muslimin and these people, Jama'at al-Tabligh. We're not talking about these people. We're not saying they're not Muslims. Naam, these people are astray, for sure. There's no doubt about it. It's clear. And if somebody asked Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, is it true that Sheikh Ibn Baz was praising the Jama'at al-Tabligh and Ikhwan al-Muslimin at the time of his death? He said, this is not true at all. He said, I sat with him innumerable occasions for years and years and years, and I didn't hear him praising these people. And if he said anything good about them, it was from the kindness of his heart, maybe as a means of dawah, but it's clear that he knew these people were astray, and they are astray. Wallahi, they are astray, they are far astray. And this is not like what we want to be occupied with, but we are saying that we want to call, we want to make a call to unity with the people of Sunnah, and let's get over our little differences. And let's get along with another brother or another sister that's upon the Sunnah, even if we have some little differences with them. And we are not saying unity with the people of deviation and the people of innovation and the people of corruption and the people of misguidance and the people of ignorance. But if they are Muslims, we should have some care and concern for them, as the Prophet ﷺ had care and concern for the mushriks, that he was concerned about bringing them to the right guidance. We also should be concerned about these people who are lost and they are astray, and hope that we can bring the right guidance. If they listen, talk to them. If they give you a chance to give them a word of guidance, advise them with gentleness and kindness, with directness, Naam, with clarity. Don't beat around the bush. Be clear what you're saying to them. Naam, you don't have to beat them down, but let them know if they have an error or mistake, try to correct it. Tell them, look, this is what Allah said in the Quran. This is how the Prophet ﷺ explained it. This is what the scholars all are agreement upon. Naam, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Okay, the time is late. So, I remind myself first and each of us, the importance of observing at-taqwa, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in so many ayats in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ittaqullah. And in this ayah today, he said, haqqa tuqatihi. In the way that is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To the best of your ability, try to remember Allah and don't forget Him. Try to be thankful to Allah and not be ungrateful to Him for His favors that He has blessed us with, the greatest of them being the guidance of Islam and the Sunnah and the way of the Salaf. And from the great favors of Allah is that He has given us the ability to practice this Sunnah. Because some people know and they are not acting upon it. Wallah, if you are acting upon the Sunnah, this is a favor from Allah. It's not because you're better than somebody else. Don't imagine you are better than someone. This is Allah's favor upon you. Because the tawfiq to do good, when you know what's right, that's from Allah also. That's from Allah's favors. So these are from the favors of Allah. Remember Allah's favors upon you. Especially the favor upon you that when you were enemies of one another and He joined your hearts together and by His favor He made you brothers in Islam and you were on the brink of the pit of fire, ready to fall into it. If you only had died at that moment, you would be in the hellfire eternally. And He saved you from it. And He saved you from it. This is indeed a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has saved us from it. And He has granted us this great favor of the brotherhood and sisterhood, the community of Islam, based upon Iman, upon the guidance of the Quran and the Sunnah, the authentic Sunnah, and the way of the Salaf al-Salih. Naam. And guidance and instruction and advice from the scholars, the ulama. Naam. Please give attention to the scholars. Whichever of them from the people of Sunnah that you choose, no problem. But don't discard the rest of the scholars. All of them are our scholars. In our early time, we had Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, and Imam Muhammad yani Nasruddin al-Albani, and Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, and we didn't. Wallahi, we didn't say, I only follow Sheikh al-Albani and I don't listen to Sheikh ibn Baz. But we loved all of them. Let's love our scholars of past and present and follow their advice and accept their correction and try to better ourselves. May Allah guide us yani, to that which is right and to correct our faults and forgive us our sins and multiply our good deeds and accept from us our prayers and our fasting and our charity and our dhikr and dua and recitation of the Quran and our da'wah and our nasiha to one another. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. نعم, you have something.